Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
After the resurrection, and they after the crucifixion, they were not aware that Jesus had been raised again. And so they decided to go back to their old trade of fishing. There were seven of them in that fishing expedition. And out of this passage of Scripture from John chapter 21, we can learn four timeless principles that we can apply to our lives. Last Sunday we talked about principle number one, the need to be together. That is called fellowship. It is no accident or coincidence that the name of our church is called New Hope Christian Fellowship. That's who we are. And that's why we come together, whether it's over a cup of coffee or sharing a meal, or in church or on a Bible study together. We need to be together. Secondly, we need to be active, and a word for that is called partnership. Partnership. Some of us will remember Ted Thetford, who has since gone to be with the Lord. He was with us for a number of years. And as Dennis mentioned in his talk, that we could practically fill this room with people that we have held memorial services for. So you guys stay healthy. Eat nutritional food. Exercise. Be around for a long time. But Ted would come in and he would always say to me as he greeted me, he would say, "Howdy, partner." He always called me a partner. And this is what it's all about. The Bible says we are workers actively engaged in God's work. We are workers together with God. Every significant thing that happens in your life and my life and in the lives of our church, we can narrow it down to two words, three words really. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. Now, before Dan, our son, was stricken with MS, he could not play the piano, had no interest in playing the piano. But out of his MS struggles came a gift from God of music at the piano. Last Sunday, he played the prelude music for us before church, and I told Dan he has a standing invitation to provide our prelude music before church on Sunday. And he says, health permitting, I'll be there and do it. He loves to play the piano. And yesterday, there at Seattle General's Hospital, when he walked into the chapel with Reese by his side, sat down at that beautiful piano and started playing the hymns that he heard as a boy in the church. And God sent an angel to him unaware and ministered to him. So full of faith, so full of compassion, sensitivity to his need, she prayed the most beautiful prayer as Marianne read it for you this morning. When the sun shines, stay active. When the clouds gather and the storm clouds arise over the horizon, stay active. Peter decided that, I don't know about the rest of you fellas, but I'm going fishing, and the other six said, we'll go with you. Now, the reason that they went back to Galilee to go fishing was because they remembered the words of Jesus, who told them before his crucifixion to tarry and go back to Galilee. And so they went back there out of obedience. So Peter and the fishermen had an occupation of fishing. That's how they paid their bills. That's how they put food on the table. And they needed to eat. There was a lake full of fish. Jesus, from their point of view, was gone permanently. So back to the old trade. Back to the fishing business. Now, we are studying this passage in light of what is to be our attitude when we think about the Lord's second coming. We need to be actively engaged in doing God's work while we wait for the Lord's second coming. Amen? Whenever I take off in an airplane flight and the plane rises above the clouds, I see these patches of cotton, and I always think, he will return in the clouds. And I always think about the second coming of Jesus. But we are to be active, always serving the Lord until he comes. I've always discovered that it's easier to move toward a moving object than it is to watch a video about something that I'm trying to learn to do. For example, if you want to learn how to ride a bicycle, you just don't park that bicycle out there on the grass and look at it. And you don't get a video on how to ride a bike. You don't read a book on how to ride a bike. You don't say to yourself, now I'm really going to study this on how to ride a bike. Boy, you get on that baby and you have someone push you and away you go. I will always remember Abigail when she learned how to ride a bike. She got on that bike in our backyard over there on Timberline Drive, and I pushed her. And she started to move her legs on those pedals. Down the yard she would go. And it was a short period of time when Abigail said, Grandpa, let go. And so I let go, and she was kind of wobbling, but she learned to ride that bike in just a few short hours. It's always easier to be moving instead of just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. And so this brings us back to the point. We need to be actively engaged in the Lord's work and in our devotional life while we wait for the second coming of Christ. Now, I had a lot of fun when I went clear out into the wilderness last fall to visit my brother and his wonderful wife who lives in Burns, Oregon. I thought, man, if this isn't a God-forsaken place, I don't know what is. Long, long stretch of barrenness on the road. But I got there, and Gene has always been a horseman. He's a cowboy. In fact, he was a professor of the rodeo in college at La Grande. And he had his heart attack last fall, and he thought his riding days were over. And I encouraged him by sharing with him how other men have recovered from their heart attacks to go on to live a productive, active life. And I said, Gene, someday you'll be back in the saddle again. And you'll be singing the old song along with Gene Autry, I'm back in the saddle again. And he sent me a text the other day saying that he was back in the saddle again with his horse out there in Burns. But I have a regret, at least one of them, that I never did learn to ride a horse. I've always wanted to ride a horse. That's why I like so many of these Western movies. It amazes me how these guys and girls can ride a horse. And I told Gene, you know, I'd like to come back and have you teach me on how to ride a horse. You know what he did? He sent me a book on how to ride a horse. He said, Autophos, he calls me Autophos. That's the Greek word for brother. I call him Autophos. He said, now, Autophos, you read up and study this book. You know what else he did? He sent me a DVD video on how to ride a horse. And so I've kind of plowed through that book, and I've watched that video, and I finally decided, if I'm ever going to ride a horse, learn to ride a horse, it's not by watching a video or reading a book. I've got to get out there and get on that horse. High risk for me, but get on that horse and ride. He has a horse trailer, has two horses. One is very, very, very gentle. And one of my dreams is to go back to Burns late summer and spend about a week learning to ride a horse. May have to get a step stool to climb on it. And then Gene and I will go camping together and spend a night out there in the woods. And I don't know if I will be able to do that. My gut feeling says to me, Dale, you have no business being on the horse at your age. But we shall see. But in any event, as we live and as we grow in our spiritual life and as we grow older, we need to keep on moving. We need to keep on chucking for the Lord. There's a great text of Scripture that has this principle. Let me tell it to you. It's a story found in Genesis chapter 24. I believe the servant of Abraham, his name is Eliezer, is being sent out by Abraham to find a wife for his son Isaac. And so he describes it as a process. I don't know how you sort things through with what's going on in your life. But for me, I very, very seldom make a spontaneous decision. For me, I have to think it through. I have to sleep on it, talk to God about it, and I have to process it. And there's a few things in my life right now that I'm engaged in processing, some issues. And this is the way Abraham's servant did in trying to find a wife for Isaac, his son. Eliezer speaking. Listen very carefully. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, I really like that phraseology here. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, let that sink in for just a moment. What is actually happening here is I'm on a mission, and my mission is to find a wife for Isaac. Now, in those days, they didn't have online dating services. Some people pick a mate online. There wasn't any of that going on. But how did Eliezer find just the right wife for Isaac? You know how he did it? Principle here. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, as I have revisited that verse, I see it in a much more meaningful new light. I don't ever want to get ahead of the Lord in my process thinking, nor do I want to get away from the Lord and do my own thing. I want to be in constant fellowship with the Lord. He guides every step that I take, every move that I make. every decision that I make, I want to be sure it's the Lord that's leading me. And so the key here is to stay busy, stay active. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is writing to this young church. He says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Now, I know some people, present company excluded, they ought to underline that phrase, mind your own business. My way of saying that, if you can't keep your grass watered on your side of the fence, don't come over and try to water mine. One of the things is my little pet peeve is someone giving me their unsolicited advice over what I'm about to do. If I want your advice, guess what? I'll ask for it. And there's wisdom in having a cabinet of advisors that will give you their insights on what you are about to do with your life or decision. But I really detest someone giving me their unsolicited advice. If I want your advice, I'll ask for it. And notice what he says here. I know some people who are aspired to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business. In other words, what Paul was saying was, stay busy, work hard, pay your bills, and do your own thing. You know why Paul wrote this in Thessalonians here? Because scholars believe that in those days, one of the reasons why the Thessalonian believers quit their jobs, they quit working. They checked out because they believed that the Lord was going to come at any moment. So you know what they did? Hey, if the Lord's coming back any moment, why work? Run up those credit card accounts. Have a lot of fun because the Lord's going to come any moment. That's what they were doing. They quit their jobs. If Jesus is coming back, we might as well just quit our jobs and wait for him to come. Why go to work? And so in quitting their jobs, guess what? They have idle time on their hands. Idle time, idleness, is part of the devil's workshop. And so these people, they quit their jobs, and instead of working, they became busybodies in the Thessalonica church. They started getting involved. And they would come along and they'd say to one another, well, you know, I've been looking at your life. And here's what I think you ought to do about it. Well, get out of my life. Go to work. If I want your advice, I'll ask for it. That's what Paul is saying. Stay busy, stay active, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I ran across a story about a man who went to the doctor, and that doctor gave him a thorough examination. He said, Doc, you've got to tell me what's wrong. So the doc gave blood work. He gave a total physical to that man. Even did a CAT scan. I mean, they did the whole gamut. So after all the tests were over, the doctor called him back in, and the guy said, okay, doctor, give it to me straight. I can handle this. Tell me what's wrong with me. I can take it. I'm tough. The doctor looked at that man and said, do you want me to tell you what is honestly wrong with you? He says, yes, sir. Doctor said, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you except one thing. What's that? The doctor said, you're just plain lazy. And the man thought about that for a moment, and then he said, well, would you say that again in some terminology so I can tell my wife? I think a lot of people try to couch their excuses in spiritual terminology. and they bring God into the equation. Well, God told me this, or God told me that, God told me this, and God had nothing to do with it. They couch their decisions by bringing God into the equation, and oftentimes God has nothing to do with it. Well, the Lord led, and I'm waiting. Paul would say, be active. Be obedient. This is the third principle. Verse 5 of our text. Jesus said to them, now they're out fishing. This is the resurrected Christ. Children, have you any food? They answered him, no. I really love this next line. Then Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, says, well, cast your net on the right side of the boat. So Bob, if you're out fishing and you're casting your hook on the left side and you're not catching anything, try casting it on the right side of the boat. Anyway, only 4 feet from the first spot and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw them because of the multitude of fish. I love it when Jesus talks to these expert fishermen. They replied, we've been fishing all night. That was the time to fish in those days. You begin at sunset and you fish into the night, and they were doing that all night and got zip, absolutely nothing. And Jesus said, have you caught anything? And they said, we have caught nothing. It's interesting that Jesus is on the shore, the resurrected Christ, and they didn't recognize him. We discover that a lot in the post-resurrection experiences and appearances of Jesus. There he is. Better get to know him. He won't be there for long. How much of the time do we think about God that way? We're going through a difficult moment, and we begin to think, God, where are you anyway? And we think that God has abandoned us for a moment. But he hasn't. He's right there. A promise in Scripture, he'll never leave you or forsake you. Remember the story in the Old Testament. I love these Old Testament stories. When Jacob was running away from home, and he went to this God-forsaken place, way out in the middle of nowhere, put his head on a rock, and he went to sleep that night, thinking that God had abandoned him, and that God was so far removed from him. He's run away, goes to sleep, head on a rock. He has a dream, and during this dream, he dreams of angels descending a ladder from heaven to the earth and going back up again. He wakes up the next day, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Did you catch that? The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Last night, I didn't know he was in this place. I thought I had been abandoned by God. I thought I was all alone. The Lord was in this place, and surely I did not know it. You know what? Sometimes when we come into worship, we are so, our mind and heart is so full of stuff that we have been dealing on during the week and dealing with during the week. We come in here, and one of the two hardest things to do when we come to church, in my opinion, number one is make a decision to roll out instead of roll over. And secondly, once we get here, to turn off brain on those issues that we have been facing with during the week, and remember as we walk in here and sit down, begin to have our fellowship, and to begin to worship. Presence of God Jehovah, all of a sudden, permeates this room. This church is just a building. It's an empty building called the church. But it becomes the church full of the Holy Spirit when God's people bring the Holy Spirit with you into this place of worship, and all of a sudden this place lights up. The Holy Spirit moves back and forth across these chairs, trying to permeate your heart and my heart. God has something he wants to say to you today through a song, through a word of encouragement, or through the message. And if we are not here, guess what? We lose our chance to have an audience with God for 75 minutes. So there is Jesus on the shore. There's the disciples in the boat. Jesus shouts out, "Hey, have you dudes caught anything?" "No, sure haven't." "Well, cast your net on the other side." Now, why did Jesus tell them to cast their net on the other side? By the way, Papa G, this will work for you too. I forgot about you. Papa G's an avid fisherman. He loves to fish. So if the fish aren't biting on your left side, throw the net, throw the bait over on the other side of the boat. And he knew the answer. He knew why they weren't catching their fish. He asked them that question because he wanted them to admit that they were unable to catch anything until they admitted their failure to recognize their need. The first step in the 12 steps program at AA Alcoholic Anonymous is, I admit that I am powerless over this addiction or issue. And when we admit that we are powerless over whatever it may be, that's when Jesus swoops in, ready to help us back on the road to recovery. That's where I'm going to stop. Next week, we will wrap up this message, Lord willing. And so I appreciate your attendance here today, this fellowship, so that Mary Ann and I can share with you the issues that we have, and to have some of our double-digit faithful members take a stroll down memory lane and talk about their benefits of being an active part of New Hope. Let's all stand together as we sing our closing song together in unison. We'll move the slides ahead here right quick. Here we go. Let's sing it together.
May the God of hope.